You're listening to the ministry of Potter's House Church, Wandsworth, a Christian Pentecostal church based in South London, preaching the gospel of Jesus Christ. Our call is to reach the lost, make disciples, and plant churches. For more information on who we are and what we do, visit us online at www.phcwandsworth.com. Welcome you all out. If you're a visitor here, we want to extend a warm welcome to you. Please do not leave today without taking up one of our visitors' bags. They're in the foyer there, so don't leave without getting one of those, your goodie bag. We want you to have that. Also, if you're a regular, we welcome you as well. Amen. We need the regulars. And so we appreciate faithful men and women. Hallelujah. If you're getting your Bibles, Ephesians 6. And we're going to start reading in verse 16, Ephesians 6, verse 16. We are in a series called Air Force, and what we've been talking about is spiritual warfare. Spiritual warfare. We're all involved in it. Every single one of you here involved in it. And when we say spiritual warfare, you're involved in a war where you do not physically see your enemy. You do not physically see his weapons. You do not physically see the strategies that are coming against you. But those weapons are just as real as physical weapons. They will destroy your life. They will destroy your productivity. They will destroy all that God has for you, every blessing that God has for you. And so whether you are a Christian, you are definitely going to be within the enemy's sights. He wants to attack you. Even if you're not a Christian in this place, maybe you're a visitor, maybe you're curious, maybe you're inquisitive about Jesus and spirituality and these things. Can I say, the devil will fight everything he can do to stop you from knowing the grace of Jesus Christ. You're involved in a spiritual warfare. And so I'm not going to recap what we've been going through. If you want to, I think we preached 4 or 3 sermons already. You can go online and you can listen to those. But today we want to deal with something else. We want to deal with today, the part of the armor we're going to look at today is the essential part of the armor. And what we're saying is today, in warfare, in spiritual warfare, this is essential. This is so important. Meaning, when we say essential, what we're talking about is, if you have this or don't have it, it's going to determine the success of the battle. So if you don't have this, what we talk about today, you're going to lose. The devil's will is going to be done in your life. You're going to lose. Just like, you know, there are physical battles, this is in the spiritual realm, you need this. And let's just leap straight into the text, Ephesians 6, verse 16. The Bible says, above all, say above all, taking the shield of faith. No, you don't need to say that. Wherewith you will be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked one, and take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. Let's pray. Father, we just ask you right now for your anointing. I ask you, Heavenly Father, that you would reveal yourself in this place. I pray that you would give us dominion. Father, we've come in today with different issues, different battles. Father, but it's the same war, light against dark. And Father, we believe that you are victorious already. And as we are your people, we are victorious. So we have the victory no matter what. So I pray that you would exalt Jesus and save souls and empower your people. And all God's people said,
amen.
Let's do it with a bit more victory. And all God's people said,
amen.
Hallelujah. And so what we want to deal with today is the shield. And in our text, this is what he says here. He says, above all. Say it again. Above all. What that means is Paul is saying, focus on this. I'm about to tell you something. Focus on this. He's saying that what I'm about to tell you, above all, what this means is it covers all. It can be added to all. Now, we've already spoke about the belt of truth. Wonderful. Yes, you reminded me. The breastplate of righteousness. And the feet, preparation for preaching the gospel of peace. And so the Bible says these things that we've already gone through, he says, this is above all. This needs to be focused in on. This is added to the other bits. This, what he's about to tell us, completes the other bits. This is why I said this is essential. Because if you do not have this part of the armor, it's going to cause you problems. This is what completes everything. And he says it's a shield. Now, when Paul is speaking about a shield, this is not like a little round shield. Yeah? I don't know if you ever did history. You saw the Vikings. They always had those little round shields. Or maybe you've the Spartans. They had these round shields. These are these warriors. No. This is a Roman shield. And what it would have been is like an oblong. It would have been from about the floor up to maybe about here. And it would have been about this wide. And sometimes it was curved. This is the type of shield. This is a big shield. This is a large shield. So when he says take the shield of faith, that word where he says shield, he's talking about a large shield. He's talking about a shield that you can put your whole body behind. That you can go into battle and your whole body's behind it. He's not talking about a little round shield that you're just moving around different places. No, this is a big shield, a large shield. And what the Bible is saying is that the shield that he's telling you to take up, that this can cover your whole life. There isn't an area or an issue of your life that this ain't going to cover. That said, it also means when you don't have this, many areas of your life are exposed to the enemy. Many areas of your life are going to be exposed to the enemy. The Bible says here, he says, take above all, taking the shield of faith, will you be able to quench the fiery darts of the wicked one? He's speaking about these arrows of fire. I remember when I was a kid, you'd watch these, these old films and pirate films or something, Viking something, and they'd set fire to an arrow, and they'd pull an arrow back, and then they would launch it over the castle wall, and then it would hit something, and poosh, fire. And that's how they would attack. This is what he's talking about. He's saying, this is how the devil attacks us. He attacks us by firing these spiritual arrows. Now listen to me right now. Remember, we're talking about spiritual warfare. This is air force. This is in the air. We do not physically see it, but you will feel the impact of it. Because this is how the devil is attacking you, that he is going to throw these fiery arrows into your life. Really, let's bring it into modern terms. The Bible says that the devil is launching dangerous, deadly missiles into your life. That if Paul was around today, I believe that's what he would have called it. He would have said the enemy is attacking you with these missiles. What does it mean? It means it hits your life and then it explodes. It hits and then it explodes in your life. It destroys. Let me give you some of these arrows that the enemy will fire. And as I start to speak, you'll be like, I've actually seen one of those. There's one of these fiery darts that the enemy fires is the arrow of temptation. You could be serving God. How many of you can just be serving God? You love God. You just want to go to church. You just want to read your Bible. You just want to do right. You say, I'm going to love everybody. I'm going to evangelize. I'm going to get sent out. I'm going to be a woman of God, a man of God. I've got rid of all my old stuff. Praise God. Hallelujah. You've told everybody, yes, I'm on fire for God. And you're going for it. You're going for it. And all of a sudden, out of nowhere, poof, this fiery dart of temptation hits you. And all of a sudden, you're thinking thoughts you're ashamed of. It's like, hey, devil's, yeah. But that's a fiery dart. This is a fiery dart of temptation. There isn't a brother in here that hasn't felt the fiery dart of lust. I know you don't want to say amen, brothers. He's like, amen. Some of you just didn't want to say amen. Listen, you felt it. I felt it. Those arrows, man. Listen, at times I thought there were so many, they're just coming one after another. Sometimes it's like by day, there's a 50 or one. Sometimes it's like you can't even see the sky, there's so many. You look at me like, Pastor, I ain't even saved. Listen, I'm saved, but I'm human. And he says, these fiery darts that are just coming over. But the thing is this, if you give in to that temptation, whoosh, It starts to destroy your life. It will destroy your ministry. It will destroy your testimony. It will destroy everything. It's like a fire. It's exploded. It's just running through everything. And you start by looking at something on the internet or flirting at work. And now it's moving on to something else and then something else and then something else and something else. That fire is just ravishing everything. See, in Bible times, most things, you know, things weren't made of like houses now, you know, there's not steel and all of that. In Bible times, everything is just combustible. And when a fire starts in Bible times, there's no fire brigade. There's no, you know, there's no fire extinguishers. When something in Bible times, when a fire is just like deadly, how are we going to put this thing out? It's going to be very difficult. And this is why Paul is saying, once this thing hits your life, it is so difficult to stop it, to put it out. Another arrow, not just of temptation, and of lust. Sometimes temptation to steal, dishonesty, lying on your CV. People think no. Lying on the CV is not a lie. It's a career opportunity forwarding thing. That's a lie. You didn't get that. You didn't go there. You didn't finish that course. You're lying to the insurance company. Lying to the council. You need a house. Oh yeah, there's 50 of us living in this house. 50 of who? You mean you had a fellowship with 50 people? See, these are the things that we get tempted. Temper. What about your temper? Anger. Woof! And then this fire, and it will destroy everything. It will destroy your marriage. It will destroy your job. It will destroy your parenting. It will destroy everything. See, this is how the enemy's attacking us. Some of you said, "Boy, Pastor, when you're talking about fiery darts, I thought I'd never seen one." Now you realize, boy, some of you came in. What about darts of doubt? Darts of doubt. When you're going through those moments where he fires that dart into your mind, and now doubts. Doubts about, can God use your life? Doubts about, really, did God say that? Did God really call you here? Is there really a God? Is this the right God? Doubts. Is God really going to come through for me? And all of these doubts now start to run through your mind. Listen, if all of those doubts, you stood up and testified. I've heard and known men that got up at conference and allowed the pastor to lay hands on them and launch them out to be pastors. And then years later, stand up and say they don't even believe there's a God anymore. How can that be? How can you stand up and be a preacher of the gospel? How can you be going on outreaches and handing out flyers and preaching and warning people about hell, and then turn around and say you don't even believe there's a God anymore? Because that is a fiery dart of doubt that the enemy pulled back and and yeah, he was like, praise God, hallelujah. It's flying over the fence and it hits you, woof. Start to stop believing that people can be healed. Stop believing in the Holy Spirit and the power of the Holy Spirit. Stop believing that God speaks to people anymore. Now church has just become religious social club. It's all about just coming for people. Let me tell you this now, we don't just come for people. We come with people, but we don't come for people. We come for Jesus. And we need his Holy Spirit in here every service to come down and minister to you. Come down and minister to me. And doubt comes in. It's a fire. And listen, it will just destroy everything. Another arrow. There are many, but just the three that I really wanted to press home. First was temptation. Second was doubt. One is an arrow of despair. And what I mean is this. When you are going through dark times, you start to despair. like things ain't never gonna change. This is just the way it's always gonna be. You're broke now, you're always gonna be broke. The devil's firing it. You're broke now, you're always gonna be broke. You're always gonna be broke. You're never gonna have enough. Fires it over despair. You're sick now, you're always gonna be sick. You're gonna die. That's how the enemy will speak to you, whisper in your mind. Despair. You know, no one likes me here. No one's like me here. I don't fit in here. You've become hopeless. And it starts to go through everything in your life. Now it's you are hopeless. When you look at things, you always think the worst. You always think nothing will work. Nothing's going to happen. Every struggle you go through, rather than say, hey, this, it's an obstacle. Let's get round it. Let's go under it. Let's go over it. You just say, no, this will never work. You're just there, sitting there, lying there, ready to die, digging your own grave. Yeah, soon I'll be dead, and you could just roll me. I'll lie next to it, and you could just push me in it. And if you could just please throw the dirt on. That's how some people, in their mind, that's how they think. Hopeless, despair. You've been hit by some arrows. Let me give you some hope here. The Bible says this, but with the shield, you will be able to quench. Paul says this, this is why we need the shield. Look at someone and say, you need it. Look back and say, you too. You need the shield. Because let me give you some good news here. How many like some good news right now? I need some good news. This message is going to be a lot of good news. Look at someone and say, I'm glad you came here today. Listen, turn back and say, I'm glad I came here today. Hallelujah. Amen. All right, let me get into the good news. The Bible says this, you will be able. Say able.
Able.
The Bible says you will be able. I studied this text. You know, I love to go into the Word and find the truths of the Bible. And in this little few sentences, Ephesians 6 verse 11 says, able to stand against the wiles of the devil. Now, in our text, he says able. And so within a little space of the Bible, three times he says this word able. Because he says in verse 11, able to stand against the wiles of the devil. The wiles of the devil are his wicked schemes. When he's scheming against you, pulling little, this devil is like a schemer. He puts little traps and little things that you don't even see. And so you're walking through life and it's, you've gone into a trap. Or he's like, he's dug a hole and then he's put something over it, some leaves. And you just walk and you just drop into it. That's his track. That's his trick, sorry. The Bible says, but you will be able to make it through his tricks. The Bible says that you are able to withstand in the evil day. Able to withstand in the evil day. The evil day is when hell comes at you like a freight train. The evil day. Listen, sometimes we're like, oh, I've had a bad day today. Really, all that happened, you was a bit tired. Or maybe, you know, you didn't get the bus. Or maybe your boss didn't make you a cup of tea. Maybe your wife didn't massage your feet. Maybe your husband didn't run you a herbal bath or whatever it is. And put some candles around there and play some music with a... and all of this stuff. Anyway, but listen. That's not a bad day. That's not the evil day. The evil day is when everything that hell has, he throws it against you. This is when you would almost wish to die. This is when everything goes wrong. When your children and your parents, and this is when your marriage and your finances and your health, this is when you see no way out. This is when you wish you were never born. Maybe some of you have never had that day. Can I tell you? There's been times in my life where I'd be like, you know, I wish I was never born. Because at least then I wouldn't even have to, it wouldn't be an issue of going to heaven or hell. That's it, I'm not even here. Because this is just too hard. I don't even know if I'm going to make it. This is just too hard. I'm just going to be real with you. Not every day I felt like that, but there has been a dark season, a dark time, when a shadow has followed me, when it feels like I can't wrestle this thing anymore, I can't shake it anymore, when I feel the breath of Satan breathing on me day and night, even in the house of God, even when I'm lifting my hands, even when I'm worshiping and I'm singing songs, he's whispering in me, it's not going to work, it will never work, you're finished. Listen, the Bible says even in that day, you are able. He will enable you. You are able. I stand here today because the Bible says God can make me able. He gives me the ability. That's what it means. The ability. The opposite would be to be disabled. We understand that it is very sad when people are physically disabled or mentally disabled. And what that means is there are limitations to what they can do, and we must help them. But can I say to you today, when you are spiritually disabled, that means that the enemy can just kick you about and deal with you, and you can't change anything. The Bible says, no. With the shield, you become able. You have the ability. Look at someone say, you have the ability. You've got it. Listen, I love this. I was studying this word, able. What it means is sufficient to meet the need. Sufficient to meet the need. And he says this, you are able. You have the ability, sufficiency to meet the need to quench. That thing comes over, the devil's like, ha ha, I got you now. And he burns it and he flies it over, that lust, that anger, that whatever it is, that temptation. And he fires it over. And as it comes, he just put it out. Put it out. The Bible says that you and I have the ability to quench. The Bible says, this word quench, you know what it means? Put out. Put out. It means you just put it, you put it out. It means stop, stop it before it does any real damage. Oh my days. I don't know if we, yeah, you just look at me. You ain't, maybe, I mean, you're, listen, you're just too holy, man. When I read it, I'm like, yes, I need to stop those arrows. See, sometimes you can't stop, we can't, what we want to do is God, stop him from firing them. Don't let him fire them. No, he's always going to be fired. Him. He's the devil. His job is to be a devil. When you say something, you devil, that means they're bad. He's bad. He ain't going to get saved. Then he comes into church while they get saved and you leave with him. Hey, no, he's always going to be firing them. You can't stop that. What can you stop? You can stop them from doing any more damage in your life. He says, listen, he says, the Bible says that you are able. God gives you the ability. This is why I said this is essential. You need this. The shield. The Bible says this shield is made of faith. See, I want to know today, what's your shield made of? What's your real shield made of? Because most of us as Christians, when we talk about faith, some of you will be here, you'll be like, Pastor, I know what you're talking about. I know about faith. I know the scriptures about faith. We you know, Ephesians 11:1, we know it. Now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. I'm reading through it quick because you know it. Hebrews 11:6, but without faith it's impossible to please him. Whoever comes to God must believe that he is, and he is a reward of those that diligently seek him. We know it. I almost know it off by heart. Many of you would know it off by heart, or could almost quote it. You know it. And so when I talk about faith, because we instinctively, when we know something or we believe we know something, we instinctively turn off. Some of you have turned off now. I was sweating. It's able. He was like, yeah, yeah. So as I said, it's made of faith, you've turned off. Now I want you to turn back on. Because what I want to say is some of you might be using a shield that ain't made of faith. Because some of you here may not even really know what faith is. Because you've heard it so much, you think you know it. See, you might have the wrong mindset. See, many of us are faith focused. We talk about faith. We know the importance of faith. We've heard about faith. You can't be in the church for very long without hearing the word faith. And we become faith focused. It's all about faith. Build my faith. I need faith. I gotta have faith. Have faith. Buy my faith. Faith. The problem is you've become so faith focused that really you're just faith focused. And what it comes down to is this, and you go, this is a little bit deeper, but you need to follow me at this point. I will speak slow, but you need to follow me. That some people's faith is no more than faith in faith. And what I mean by that is they've exalted faith to such a high point, they believe, if I just have faith, I must have faith. I need faith. If I had faith as a muscle, if I had faith, faith. Come on, Courtney, get faith. Faith. I must have faith. Really? What you've done is you've become faith focused. What you're talking about is faith in faith. And what that means, that will make you self-focused. Because this is what you're saying is, I must believe. I must have faith. I, how do I get it? Come on, come on. And you're get it. Come on, you need faith, Courtney. You've become self-focused. You're looking at yourself. The problem is with that, it's all about your faith. It's all about your faith. And that will never work. And this is why there are many people that come to church and they think, yeah, I've tried this faith thing, but it didn't work. No, because you was trying to have faith in faith. You think faith is the goal. Faith is the prize. You think faith is the end of it. If I just get faith, you just want faith. Let me give you a scripture to kind of explain what I'm saying, because some of you looking and be like, I don't know what he's talking about now. Go back to the arrows. I like that bit. Ephesians 2 verse 8. We got that there? Okay. For by grace you have been saved through faith, and that not of yourself, it is the gift of God. So think about this now. The Bible says, by grace through faith. It didn't say by faith. It says by grace. So when we say by grace you've been saved, we're saying it's the grace that saves you. But you get to the grace by going through faith. Now, if I said to you, okay, I'm going to the Walthamstow Conference. I'm going to go through the Dartford Tunnel. Is the Dartford Tunnel my destination? No. It's what gets me to my destination. See, there is a total difference here. Many Christians, the way they're living their life, they would read this text by faith through grace. They think grace is just what they go through, but it's by their faith they're saved. No, by grace you are saved. Grace is free. Grace is God's gift. That's what saves you. You get the gift by going through faith. Faith is just what you go through. Faith is not your destination. Faith is not your goal. So, Pastor, you know, because the Bible speaks so much about faith, you know, what, explain this to us. True faith is being God-focused, not faith-focused. If you are going to have real faith, God wants you to be God-focused, not faith-focused. Because faith, that means, oh, I arrived here because of my faith. My faith was so faithful. I had so much faith, I'm here. No, the Bible says, by grace you are there. Through faith, but it's by grace. It's a, what did it say at the end? It's a gift. A gift, you do not earn a gift. A gift is a free will thing. See, real faith is God focused. Real faith is as simple as this. Let me boil it down to its simplest. Real faith. How many want real faith? Real faith is this. Trusting God. That's it. Simple. Trusting God. If you trust God, you'll have real faith. See, to build your trust, if you start to build your trust in God, your faith will be built. The problem is this. How do I build my trust? Well, how do you build your trust in anybody? You got to get to know them. How do you can't trust someone you don't know. Really, I can't trust someone I don't know. It's very, you know, listen, if I don't know you, I wouldn't let you look after my kids. If I had kids, I wouldn't let you look after my kids. If I don't know you. Maybe you're that type of parent, yeah, anybody can have your kids. No. No. If I don't know you. Listen, if I don't know you, I wouldn't even let you drive my car. Yeah. Plus, I gotta go somewhere. No problem. I'll drive. Because to really trust somebody, you got to know them. The Bible says, faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. The Bible says, the more you have the word of God, the more faith. What are you saying? The more you know God, the more you'll trust him. Let me push this home, and then we're gonna pray. But let me push this home. Genesis 15:1 says this: after these things, the word of the Lord came to Abraham in a vision, saying, "Do not be afraid, Abraham. I am your shield, your exceedingly great reward." The Bible says that God reveals himself and says, "I am your shield." See, really, the shield of faith is not just, "Yeah, I need faith." No. The faith is what makes God your shield. Because Jesus, listen, God said to Abraham, "I am your shield." Do you know that God is your shield? Imagine now you had a bodyguard and he's walking around with you. And as he's walking around, he's supposed to jump in front. You know, like if you're the president of the United States, you've got these secret servant agents, whatever they are. And so when a gun goes off, they're supposed to jump in front of the president and take the bullet. That's what they're supposed to do. Imagine you had one of those. But then somebody comes near you to, "Hey, I'm coming for you." And you run off. You're like, "Huh? What's this?" You sack him. "I don't trust him, man. When I need you, you won't be there." How many know that's not God? But some of us doubt God like that is God. God says, "Listen, I am your shield." God says, "Listen, when the bullet is coming, I'll dive in front of it." And if you doubt it, look at Jesus Christ. Because when we needed a savior, he died. He took the bullet for me and you. See, faith is believing God is my shield. Listen to what it says here. 2 Samuel 22 verse 2. And he said, "The Lord is my rock, my fortress, my deliverer, and God is my strength, in whom I will trust." That's what he says here. "In whom I will trust." He says, "I trust in him, my shield, my horn of my salvation, my stronghold, my refuge, my savior. You saved me from violence." Again, what the Bible is telling us is that God is your shield. Do you believe him? Do you trust this shield? Do you trust that God? Do you trust in him? See, he's your shield today, church. He's your shield. God is trustworthy. Can I tell you, that is massive. See, if you believe that, when he tells you to do something, you'll do it. God is trustworthy. Well, that means he's worthy of trusting. He has exhibited himself to such a level that really we should not need to doubt. Week after week, I get up here on the stage. I've never come up on the stage and been like, never done it. Because you know what? It's proven itself. Week in, week out, it's proven itself. Now, it could break one week. It could. It's proven it, but it's proven itself. I don't walk around it while I'm preaching. I'm like, "Yes, and get in your Bibles." I'm not doing that. Because it's shown itself trustworthy. It has never let me down. Has God ever let you down? Has he ever abandoned you? No. God is trustworthy. Listen, you build your faith not by, "Come on, believe, come on, believe, trust, believe." You can't build your faith like that. You know how you build your faith? By looking at God, by studying the goodness and the blessing of God. Listen, I want to give you some scriptures here. We're going to give you some protein shake to help you. You're going to leave here ready. 1 John 4 verse 16. And we know and believe the love that God has for us. That there will set some of you free. And we know and believe the love that God has for us. God is love. And he who abides in love abides in God and God in him. This is what he says. We know and believe that God loves us. We know that love that he has for us. Do you know that God loves you? God is into you. I remember one time I was out. I've told this story a few times, but it always makes me laugh a little bit. I was out. With Kenny. I think Carl was there. Yeah, he was there. We was in KFC in Clapham Junction. And so they were new converts. We were there hanging out. And one of their friends came in. And we was in KFC. And they were like, hey, talking to him. And they said, this is our pastor. And they shook his hand. And they just started talking, carried on talking. I was just there observing. And he brought out a jacket or something. And he said, look at this. And I don't know, it had writing on the back. I think it was like an expensive jacket. I don't know what it was. And he was like, I got this for my girlfriend. Yeah, got it for my girlfriend, and I'm going to give it to her, and we're going to do this, and we're going to do that. And I looked at these two, because they always like to look at each other. You know, that's how they always are. They always look at each other like a look. So, like we don't know what they're doing. We know what you're doing. And what they were saying is, and then when he left, they was like, he's in love. Look at him, he's in love, man. And what they were saying is just like, look at this guy, man. He's head over heels with this woman. And to them, at that time, they were immature. You know, they were, praise God, they're having kids now. Amen. They're married. Amen. Then they're having kids. But let me say this now. Did you know that God is into you? God, do you know that God loves you? That God is just into you? Do you believe that God is like, look what I'm going to give him. Look what I'm going to do. Did you know that God loves you? That God is into you? That God boasts about you? That God gets excited about you? The Bible said, listen, you're looking at me like, Pastor, how can that be? And we know and believe the love that God has for us. That he loves you. If he was to tell you to stop it, it's because he loves you. If he was to tell you to start it, it's because he loves you. If he tells you to go right or left or wherever it is, it's said out of love because he loves you. Too many times we think God wants to spoil our fun. We're not sure if God really loves us. We know he's holy. Yeah, we can believe he's holy. But it's harder to believe. Listen, it's easier to believe that God is holy than to believe that he loves me. That is, it's for me to believe that God is holy. Come on, he's holy. He made the sun. He's above everything. He's holy. He's pure. I can easily believe that. But why are you so excited about me? How can you so love me that you gave your son for me? But that's what the Bible says. See, if you started to really believe that he loved you, you would trust him more. You would trust him more. You'd be like, yeah, because someone that really loves you, man, that's into you. See, this is how a wife can submit to a husband. Too many times a husband is like, hey, this woman better submit. She better submit. Yeah, you better submit. Woman, the Bible says submit. I'm the man. What you don't realize is, if she could see in your eyes that you loved her, oh my days, you hear that? We just went to Tennessee or somewhere. And the Bible says, I want to let you know. Amen. Somebody went, Anyway, praise God. Come on. We can have fun in church. Amen. Do you know that God loves you? If you would know that God will love you, that he does, that he's into you. The Bible says he so loved you. He's into you. Not only does he love you, God is faithful. The Bible says, 2 Timothy 2 verse 13, if we are faithless, he remains faithful. Oh my days. We endeavor to try be faithful. That's, you know, that's really the best we could say. You know, people, hey, that's a faithful. Really and truly, you know what it is? We endeavor to be faithful. Some people are not even trying to be faithful. Then, you know what? You need help. You need a lot of Jesus. You need to repent. And the rest of us, you know what we can say? We're endeavoring to be faithful. We're chasing after faithfulness. Because there's no one here that can say, I've done everything the way I should have done, when I should have done it. No. And so we see chinks in our own faithlessness. We see in our own faithfulness, sorry. We realize that we're not faithful. And the Bible says, even though we are faithless, He remains faithful. He is faithful, church. He is faithful. He will never let you down. Jesus comes on the earth. Jesus says, listen, I'm going to the cross because I'm going to save you. When Jesus knows all things. When Jesus went to the cross, He knew you needed it. You. Personalize it. He died on the cross for you. He loves you. Jesus knew that you needed it. I needed it. As He's going to, he starts to show the disciples, listen, I'm going to go to the cross. I'm going to suffer things. I'm going to die. His disciples said, no, don't do that. He said, get behind me, Satan. He said, that's harsh. Yeah, because He knew you needed it. He's like, get behind me. Listen, there are people that need me. Faithful to the cross. He's on the cross. They said, come down off the cross. You saved others, save yourself. No, this is hard. This is painful. This is tough, man. This is going to cost me everything. But I'm going to stay right where I was supposed to be. He was faithful up until death. And He's still faithful. Listen, He would never let you down. He would never let you down. He gave everything to His last breath. It's finished. So it's not like, yeah, he was in it. He was talking about saving you. He's talking about redeeming your life, giving you a new life, washing away your sins. And then He saw the cross. He was like, oh, boy, I didn't know it was going to be. You know what? Maybe, you know, I don't know, man. Let's try to work it out. No. He didn't do that. He didn't do it. The Bible said He set His face to go towards Jerusalem. He's faithful. Even though we are faithless, He is still faithful. Trust in His faithfulness, church. He is a rock. He is a firm foundation. He will never drop you. He will never leave you. He will never let you down. That is what your shield needs to be made of. Romans 4 verse 21. And being fully convinced that He who promised is also able to perform. Not only does God love you, not only is He faithful, but He is able to do all things. There is nothing God cannot do. There is no problem in your life that He cannot fix. Nothing occurs to God because He already knew the answer. He already knew the answer. Nothing occurs to Him. Oh, that just occurred to me. No, He already knew. He knows all things. God is not as smart as you think. He's smarter. He is able to do everything. Pastor, no. Oh, this situation in my family, this situation in my finance, this situation in my health. You know, we always think our situation is different. The only thing is different, and it's you. There's people in this planet that have gone through 20,000 times worse than what you're going through, and they trusted God, and God brought them through. That's the reality. You ever seen that guy that's got no legs and no arms? You ever seen him? He's preaching the gospel, just hopping around preaching the gospel. See his wife. His wife is nice. He done well. They just put him on a table. I saw him just on a table. Listen, he's just like a... I'm serious. He's just a torso. He's just no from here. Imagine this up here. No, this doesn't. It's the head. And he's preaching. And he's done. You can go online, look at him. And he's preaching. And I saw him on one show. He hopped up and he did this. And he's out there. We couldn't even. Some of us, we couldn't even imagine the battles of the mind. We've got legs and arms and all different things and money, and we're this is difficult. We can't even imagine the mind battles that he's gone through, the insecurities, the amount of people that maybe laughed at him or mocked at him and still do. We see the good side when he's smiling. But listen, God sees him in those dark days, those shadows, those valleys of the shadow of death. But it doesn't matter about your physical disability. The Bible says God is able. So he enables you. This is the God you trust. Psalms 119 verse 68. You are good and do good. Teach me your statutes. God is good. God is good. Think about this now. This is what your shield needs to be made of. When you lift up your shield, nah, God loves me. And I know, listen, the worlds, the sky may fall, the earth can disintegrate, every volcano, the planets can collide out of their orbit. But something that will never move for me, I know God loves me. You lift up that, you're going through things, you're looking at your life, I don't know how this is going to work. You lift up your shield. God is faithful. You got to remind yourself, listen, God is faithful. God will get me through this trial, this difficulty. You got to speak to your soul. Don't give up. You're looking at your own weak performance. You're looking at your own sinfulness. You're looking at your own life and you want to give up because you're looking at yourself. I should have more faith than this by now. Yes, maybe you should. But the problem, the reason why you don't, because you are looking at yourself. Lift up your eyes and put them on the prize. Put them on Christ. Put them on the love of God, the faithfulness of God. Listen, the goodness of God. He is able. A doubt, a temptation, all of these things. No, God is able. Guy at your workplace, he's not saved, he's a devil, man. He just wants to get into bed with you. Yeah, I said it. He's telling you all the nice things. Yeah, he's telling you nice things now. You're like, wavering. That arrow has hit you, man. You need to lift up your shield of faith. Mm-mm. God is able to provide a man of God for me. Amen. Show him the shield, sister. Sometimes your flesh is going mad. There are men in here, you're battling with all types of emotions and spiritual warfare. It's like so many arrows coming at you, it's like the sun has gone dark. It's like my days. When that hits me, I'm finished. Get your shield. Go right underneath it. And hide. Hide underneath it. No! Listen, God is faithful. You may feel... Listen, just stay under here. Stay under here. Stay under here. Remind yourself, God is faithful. Listen, and you will come out. You will rise up. You will make it. See, in our text, he mentions the helmet of salvation. And this is really just a phrase. I've preached the whole thing on the shield. But I just want to throw this in there about the helmet of salvation. The helmet is what protects your head. And really, what the Bible says, it protects your mind. How you think. You know, the Bible says, how you think, so you are. It's how you think. The problem, you know what the reason is? There's too much thinking. Because you think stink. That's what it is. You live stink. Yeah. You live stink because you think stink. See, if you think like a pervert, you'll live like a pervert. If you think greedy and stingy like a miser, you'll live greedy and stingy. You met greedy people? Greedy. Because the way they think. Think about this now. Let me say this now. If you've got... let me use myself. That's the best. That's the safest way. I don't offend nobody. I know I need to do more exercise. But where it starts by my thinking. If I can kind of get out of bed, go for a jog, go to the gym, in my head, once my head will start to think healthy and fitness, then my body will. Because it starts with your mind. And so the Bible says that there are weapons that attack the mind. See, what the devil wants to do is he wants to plant thoughts and damage your thinking. The other thing is, if you knock someone on the head, sometimes people can go into a concussion. People can even get brain damage. The devil's knocked you on the head so hard, it's like you're walking in a circle. Because he's whacked you on the head so hard, it's like you've become disillusioned, discouraged, dis everything else. The Bible says there's a protection for that, and it's the helmet of salvation. I was thinking, what is the helmet of salvation? I believe the Bible reveals itself. If you ever want to know things in the Bible, just let the Bible reveal itself. Read more of the Bible. It makes sense. Stop going on YouTube trying to find answers for the Bible. The Bible translates the Bible. The Bible expounds the Bible. 1 Thessalonians 5 verse 8, it's in the Bible. It says this: let us who are of the day be sober, putting on the breastplate of faith and love, and as a helmet, the hope of salvation. This helmet that God has given us is the helmet of the hope of our salvation. I've preached it many times. What is hope? Hope is the expectation of good things. See, when the enemy attacks you, you know what you've got to fill your mind with? The expectation of good things. I will make this because I'm saved. I can do this. See, some of you right now, you're in a position of life where as you look ahead in the physical, you think things are going to get worse. How am I going to pay that bill that's coming up? Hey, how am I going to get through this? And all of these things, you look ahead and you see problems, you see difficulties, you see trials, you see it can't be done. Put on a helmet. I will meet that bill. God's going to provide. I will get through this difficult situation. God's got me through them before. My marriage is going to work. My children are going to be blessed. That's what it is. The Bible says the hope of your salvation. See, there's a problem here is that some of you, you're only good when things are going well. Oh, I'm dating now. You're happy now. I got a job now. You're happy now. That's not the helmet of salvation. Listen, sinners are happy when they get blessed. People that do not know Jesus, you give them £1 million. Woo! They're dancing around. But listen, this is when you know you see someone who's got the armor on. They're in the middle of a battle and they're still smiling. You need to protect your head. Fill your mind with hope. Protect your mind in the battle. Faith and hope are essential parts of the armor. And if you do not have them, you will not make it. I prophesy, if you refuse to use them, you will lose the battle. Today, we're going to have an altar call. And I want people to come, and we want to put on the shield, and we want to put on our helmet, and we're going to go back into the battle. The same battle that I might have lost, you can win. Amen. I want every head bowed, every eye closed.
We hope you've been blessed, edified, and challenged by this sermon to reach the lost, make disciples. For more information on who we are and what we do, visit us online at www.phcwandsworth.com.